Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Southern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the Chainine Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Good Friday morning, Northern Colorado. How we doing out there? I am Tanner Schwint, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Let's have a Friday here. Feel good Friday. We got a fun show lined up for you. Today in the second hour, we will be having trivia presented by Rule 105 Brewing. Brian Gary, Chad Young, and hopefully Brady Hull will be able to jump in here. We're doing general trivia, which means we're not smart enough to get any of those right. So we'll be doing that at 10:35 again, presented by Rule 105 Brewing. No Jerry Schimmel today. He is he's got a conference that he's speaking at this morning, so we'll catch up with him next week. We talked with Cody Wilson yesterday because it is time for Ask a Lawyer.
The information, comments, and links provided on this segment do not constitute legal advice. No attorney-client relationship has been or will be formed by any communications to, from, or with the listener and attorneys. For legal advice, contact an attorney actively practicing in your jurisdiction. Do not send any confidential or privileged information to the attorneys or radio show. Nor shall the attorneys, radio show, or associated employees assume any liability or responsibility for it. Also, no such information, documents, or materials will be returned to you. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this segment are hereby expressly disclaimed. Visit the KFK website for the full legal disclaimer.
All right, Taylor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You've got court here in a couple of minutes.
I do.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So we got to keep it snappy.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, I'm glad you were here on time. I appreciate the punctuality. Hello, Havila.
Oh, don't let your bitterness
through. Oh, I have to give you a little
it's
bit of crap.
It's not endearing.
You were never late, and you were running a little behind this morning.
I know. And I told you, but apparently that wasn't good enough.
No, it was hilarious. She just sent her location. She didn't answer any phone calls. She just sent the location. And I'm like, why is she in LaSalle? And so it was like one of those high-speed chases. We had the chopper out there following you, making sure you're going to get here on time.
It was not high speed.
No.
I was going the speed limit
of course.
The whole way.
Wink, wink. All right, let's dive in today. How are we doing, you guys? It's Friday, feeling good. Long week. Got a little bit of the week left here. But how are we doing? Feeling okay?
Yeah. Happy Passover to those of you who are celebrating.
That is right. That is right. All right. So let's dive in. I want to start first with the Washington Commanders. This was we're not going to go deep in the weeds because this is a very nuanced section of the law, I believe. Right? Is that what you said? Somebody told me that.
Yes, it's very nuanced.
Yeah. So sports law, but okay, I'm very confused by this because there was really it kind of blindsided ever. So if you haven't seen the story, Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Commanders, used to be the Washington football team, was shown to be keeping money, not splitting up the revenues from ticket sales to the visiting teams. And it was the U.S. Oversight Committee. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
I think it's Congressional.
Congressional Oversight Committee that stepped in and said, yeah, no, what you're doing is wrong and illegal. How do they even have the bearing to step in and do that? I mean, it's just, is it because they're in Washington, D.C.? Does that play any sort of a role here?
Well, my understanding of Washington, D.C. So this kind of goes back to the founding fathers, right? So when we were...
This is George Washington's fault?
When we were setting up our U.S. Constitution, one of the things that the founding fathers was really concerned about was this monopoly on power. And so they made this provision that wherever they would assemble was not going to be a state for that very purpose. They didn't want one state to have entire powers. So D.C. is not a state because of that principle. And then Congress and the presidential White House is all in Washington, D.C. Now, what that means is there is no police state, right? So there is no police force like you have here in Colorado. You're going to have the Colorado State Troopers. You might have each city has their own state police, and then you have state laws. In D.C., it's all governed by the federal government that is their quote-unquote police state.
So that's why they were able to step in there. So we've got kind of a smorgasbord of things going on here. One of the things, Taylor, that we were talking about a little bit was actually one of the headlines that caught our eye earlier. Mike Tyson was trying to sell pot-laced gummies that were shaped like ears here in the state of Colorado. Have you heard about this?
I haven't.
It's hilarious. So it was just trying to do... Because obviously he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off, and now he was trying to do gummies shaped like ears. The Colorado said, "No, you can't sell those here." And I was a little interested, so I did some digging on this, guys. I know I did a little bit of work here, but see if this makes sense to you. The reason why they said they can't do that, it can't be shaped. Any edibles cannot be shaped like human body parts or anything that looks like candy. And so they set it up, and I just think that is so strange that that's where they drew the line. But there's a lot of things that come into regulation when they started to legalize marijuana here in the state. So there's a lot of little nuanced things in there. Am I right on that? Did I do my research correctly?
Yeah, it's just interesting because I know now that it's legalized, it is basically like candy, so I wonder if that's like changed at all
right
since then. But I wonder, did it say what the reasoning was for why it could not be a body part?
I don't know. It wasn't. I didn't ever see the reasoning behind that. I don't know why that is. That's such a weird, nuanced thing, right?
And
but what I want to know is, who would buy gummies shaped like ears?
Why not?
Well, because they're shaped like ears, I suppose. I don't know. That just seems weird to me. It seems weird. That's where they draw the line.
Yeah, I think as you're talking about it, what's hitting
me is... It's a ridiculous story.
They're more concerned about the fact that they may be, I don't know, promoting cannibalism or something, rather than the fact that the reason why he's selling an ear is because he committed a crime they went to prison for. They're not as concerned about that as much as they are about the ear. So that just strikes me as very odd.
Yeah, it was such a weird story. And of course, it's Mike Tyson. I mean, that's why it's I'm sure there's been plenty of these lawsuits that have come up as well about not being able to sell certain types of gummies and things like that in a weird shape or form like the candy.
Well, when
the candy makes sense, though, right?
When it first came out, a big part of the concern was that children were going
right
to mistake it. And there were a large amount of children overdose by accident who just thought, oh, these gummies are candy, right? And so they ended up trying to regulate some of that. The body part just seems odd to me.
It does seem very odd. One of the other stories when we're going through the smorgasbord, and then the next segment, we're obviously going to dive into more of a serious topic about the fentanyl side of things that we talked a little bit about. You were listening. One of the other headlines that caught my eye was the self-driving car that got pulled over in San Francisco. And this cop pulls over this self-driving car for swerving out of its lane. The video is hilarious because this cop walks up and looks inside and there's nobody there. And he's like, what in the hell is going on? He tries to grab the door handle and the car just drives off and then it just goes and parks. So this is all obviously brand new. This may be a little bit of guessing on your guys' part. I don't think there's ever been a ruling on this yet. What happens if a robotic car, an electronic self-driving car goes haywire? Who is held responsible for that?
I would think the owner, but the interesting part is, like, liability-wise, who is programming the car? And then, like, the car doesn't have the intent to commit the crime, right?
So it's an
interesting set of facts of, like, the car obviously malfunctioned, but it didn't malfunction enough. I haven't watched the video, but to be pulled over, like,
right,
the car obviously stopped when the cop tried to pull it over. So it's just I thought that was a really interesting story.
Yeah, I did too. And we've talked a lot about DUIs. What about if the person operating the self-driving car, because like programming the coordinates, I would assume is how that works. I'm not smart enough to do it. But what if that person is under the influence trying to coordinate the car? Is that a DUI?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm like going through all of kind of the laws that I'm thinking through as you're talking again. And one of the things that's striking me is, okay, so we have to go get a driver's license in order to fully operate a motor vehicle. So if now these vehicles are self operating, do you have to have a specialized license that's attached to that vehicle? Is it similar to a motor vehicle registration and or a driver's license? I would assume that whatever that process is, licensing means that whoever obtained that license would be responsible for whatever crime the car committed, like weaving or speeding. But yeah, that's really...
It's going to be interesting going forward because this one was harmless, right? I mean, it got pulled over and went on and let it off with a warning was the joke that all the media was making this week, and it drove me crazy.
No, it doesn't sound like it was let off with a warning. It sounded like there's some felony eluding going
that's,
on.
That's okay. There you go. You got a case right there. Yeah. Go prosecute it. I will cover it very closely. Well, but that's the thing. Like, this one was innocent, but if you have somebody who gets a hold of one of these cars and actually wants to do legit damage to it, I mean, this just opens up a whole other can of worms that people are going to have to dive into.
The weird thing is, in my head, that I compare it to is what happens when you start having cars going to, like, you know, say someone's house to do a stakeout or something like that, where it's just a car, and then the car pulls someone over until a police officer can get there or something like that. Like, that's where my mind is weirdly going, of like, when you send cars rather than humans to, like, do human work, what is going to start happening?
It sounds like iRobot. I mean, it sounds like a movie, right? And that's starting to get to be the world and that we're living in, but it's just so bizarre to me.
I think of also, like, Amazon with the drones delivering stuff. You know, what, like, where does that line stop?
I don't know. And I would assume that it hasn't been tried in court. Because if I saw a drone coming over my property, this is going to make me sound so redneck. But I'm going to shoot it. Yeah, I'm going to shoot it down if it is not a drone. And then am I held liable for the damage done to that drone?
I had a drone fly over me once. It was very disconcerting. And then the wind... Because it was definitely creeping on me. I was doing some yard work and I was trying to ignore it. And at the end of the day, the wind picked up and it ended up, like, going in the field. And the guy had to come to my house to come pick it up. And I've never seen the drone again since because he's very ashamed of his conduct.
Well, yeah, you should be. I mean, but that's got to violate some sort of law, right? No, does it or not? Is it open? Because, okay, this is, we're getting way off the rails here. I apologize, but I'm so fascinated by this now. Like, since it's above, where does your property line cross off when you're going up?
So there's some case law about whether or not you own the airspace above your property. And because of the drone situation, I know that the legislation has changed quite a bit. So initially, there were no regulations regarding that. But since drones have been introduced, I know that when I've had to hire somebody to go get drone footage, that there has to be special licensing in place now. So I'm pretty sure now there's much stricter regulations on the drones.
Yeah, I would not like that very much. Just a drone sitting outside your house looking in, that's terrifying to me.
Yeah, and again, remember, there's a difference between a private citizen and a police officer or a law enforcement agency. So a law enforcement agency isn't going to be able to do those types of things. A private citizen may be able to do those types of things.
If my neighbor has a drone and is looking in my house, do I have the right to shoot it?
I think it depends where it is. So like Avila said, my understanding is if it's still, like, in their property, but say it's, like, up above the fence, you can't. But if it's over the property line, then you can.
I do think that there's some distinguishing factors about the property line.
Right.
How difficult does ever-changing technology make it for cases like this? I mean, because I would have to imagine there's not a whole lot of lawsuits or cases out there about self-driving cars or things of that nature. I mean, this is a whole new world that could be coming into play here.
Well, what we talked about last week with the harassment statute portions of being stricken down as unconstitutional, our courts are really struggling with a lot of the advancements in technology because it is happening so quickly. So you see that every once in a while in some of the cases that are coming out either through the Colorado Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court, where they're like, we're sure our founding fathers never imagined anything like this, so let's do our best to apply the principles.
I mean, George Washington had wooden teeth. I don't think that he was planning on a drone. That's two George Washington references. I'm just getting ready for trivia later on. It's Ask a Lawyer segment here on NoCo Now. Taylor Myers with TaylorMade Legal Services and Havila Luis Bruno Lilly with Bruno Lilly Legal. If you've got questions, text them in at 888-530-0043. When we come back on the other side, we're going to dive into what's been dominating the news a little bit about fentanyl and felony possession of that. We'll discuss next. It's NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. All right, like I mentioned, it's Ask a Lawyer with Havila and Taylor. Angel Padilla getting your first day. You got any questions for the lawyers? You been in any legal trouble?
Don't answer that.
Not recently.
Okay, not recently.
I have listened to this segment a couple times, though.
Do you feel like you're smarter now regarding the law?
Not at all.
Okay, good. That was a little...
That's not a slight to our lawyers here. I just don't know anything about law.
Job security.
That's right. Okay, so I want to dive into the fentanyl thing. I know Taylor's got to jump to court at 9:30. So I want to try and buy a little bit of time here so that we can dive in when she gets back. So what I want to ask you guys is our accessories with a flare and hair poll question that has nothing to do with law. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Ballpark essential. You go to a game, okay? You get to pick one. You get to pick one. Is it a hot dog? Is it a cold beer? Is it nachos? Or is it something else? If you're going to a game, Havila is not a sports fan at all. What is the one thing that you're getting? Taylor, we'll start with you so Havila can wrap her mind around going to a game.
It is a hot dog, 100%. There's no other answer.
There absolutely is another answer. Okay, mustard, ketchup, relish, the works?
Ketchup only.
Ketchup only?
Yep.
Oh, you're one of those people. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to invoke my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent.
if Havila has been, have you been to a baseball game?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, I've been to a
hot baseball dog or nachos? We'll leave the cold beer out.
I'm not allowed to eat nachos.
So hot dog. You are giving me nothing here.
I invoked my Fifth Amendment right.
I don't. Myself. You in this room, you don't have a Fifth Amendment right.
Every time we start this radio show, you say, welcome to the court.
It is the courtroom. It is the courtroom. It is my courtroom. I am Judge Tanner presiding over today.
Okay.
Answer the damn question.
No.
You don't have a Fifth Amendment right here. Answer the question. Hot dog, then?
I just don't like the idea of you overanalyzing what I eat on a regular basis. This isn't.
Only her, Taylor. She's the only one who...
Let me just enjoy the game.
You're just going to sit there and be like, woo, go team. Yeah. You don't even enjoy sports?
And I'll get my concessions.
What are you getting from the concessions?
All right, I'll stop messing with you. I'm going to get a hot dog.
Okay. You just ketchup? Ketchup, mustard, relish?
I do
loaded.
Ketchup, mustard. Sometimes I do it loaded. Sometimes I add just relish. It depends.
Lawyers and politics.
My feelings.
Politicians, man. You'd be great at it. You're dodging this question great.
That's great. And I told you on my terms when I was going to answer it.
Oh, my gosh. Why are you making, okay, to be fair, why are you making us choose all, get all of them?
No, you can't. That's the whole idea of the poll question. You got to pick one because what is it you're going to pick? Mine's definitely cold beer.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah, I know. 50% of the people out there say hot dog. Oh. 33% of the people say cold beer. 17% say nachos so far. So if I had to pick between a hot dog and nachos, I'm leaning hot dog, I think.
Okay, to be fair, since we're getting all lawyery, I'm allergic to beer. So
okay.
I was at
right.
the Rockies game the other night, and I had a margarita and a hot dog.
All right. Margarita and hot dog.
I'm just happy to know that you've now endorsed me in politics, and I'm a person of the people.
That is right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Havila 2022. You right. better start. You're a little late. You missed some of the primaries. So
I don't think I'm even on a ballot.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Are you a person of the people if you don't enjoy the sport?
Hey. How many people go to baseball games to enjoy the sport?
At Coors Field?
To be fair, right, I'm raising
exactly.
my hand.
At Coors Field, not many.
Right.
So they just go, again, and this is why the state of Colorado is not a baseball state, and that is my complaint.
I'm a person of the people. To enjoy everything but the baseball.
Write her in, folks. Have a Luis Bruno Lilly. Good luck spelling all that. All right, 9:30. We got to let Taylor get out of here for a minute. We're going to dive into a much more serious topic when we come back on the other side about the criminalization of fentanyl. It is 9:30 the time. Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and Weather Center. Welcome back in to NoCo Now on a Friday morning. Ask a Lawyer rolls on here. Havla joining me in the Allo Communications studios. All right, so let's try and get this thing back on track after you wouldn't talk. I took you out of your wheelhouse by not talking about law. I talked about hot dogs, and that was the thing that you pled the fifth on.
I mean, you really shouldn't try to seek out my personality. It's not that great.
All right. Well, let's talk about the law then. Obviously, this has been big news throughout the state of Colorado. Fentanyl overdoses and deaths have been going through the roof in the state of Colorado. And now there is a debate going on, and we will see what comes of it, but about making the possession of fentanyl a felony offense again, because it used to be, correct?
Yes, the possession of any controlled substance was a drug felony. And as we discussed a couple of shows ago, a lot of the crimes were reclassified, and those drug felonies were then, for simple possession, reduced down to a Class 1 misdemeanor.
And so now the debate on it is kind of coming back around because of, I mean, this is the main reason it's coming back up again is because of the fentanyl deaths, correct?
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Taylor's joining us back in the studio as well. We're talking about the fentanyl and drug felony possession charges. So this is a very politicized topic with very passionate people on both sides. So, Havel, I want you to walk us through the arguments being made right now on both sides about why it should be a felony and why I believe it's the Democrats arguing against this. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the people who are advancing recriminalizing at least fentanyl is your Republicans, and I think the Colorado District Attorney's Council is backing that up as well, which isn't necessarily Republican-based because, again, every county is different, but that council in and of itself is backing this bill. And then opposing it is going to be primarily Democrats and then the Colorado defense attorney bar.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, both of these parties, both sides of this, the end goal, everybody's on the same team here of trying to eliminate drug overdose deaths. I truly do believe that, but the ways in which they're trying to do it are fundamentally different. So in my opinion, at least, and this is something that I haven't got a chance to dive deep into here, but in my opinion, at least, it seems like there's two different options, right? There is the felony possession of it that, okay, you're going to jail, you're going to prison for this, and that is a way that people, you know, hopefully get clean off of this as well, and they don't possess it. Or the other side is issuing rehab and things of that nature. Am I correct in saying that those are kind of the two fundamental approaches to it?
Yeah, and people talk about rehabilitation a lot when they're talking about criminal justice reform, but the reality is that the system is not designed to provide rehabilitative services. There may be some rehabilitative services in the system that they may be able to access, but that's not like one of the key components of the criminal justice system.
So how do they, because a lot of these deaths are coming from different drugs being laced with fentanyl, correct?
I think a lot of what we're seeing, excuse me, now is oxycodone pills that are fake. So people are buying what they believe to be oxycodone, and it's actually fentanyl.
Okay. So this is why it's been getting a lot of publication and a lot of play, because of things, this article out of the Gazette saying if they get it right, more will survive. If they get it wrong, the carnage continues. I mean, this is the type of publicity that these cases are getting. In my estimation, and again, this I want to open it up for thoughts from both of you. In my estimation, don't own or dispense drugs. I mean, that's the base of it. I understand that there's a lot more complex things, but that seems like a very base way to look at this. I'll open it up for you guys for your opinions and thoughts.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, if you want to not have to worry about these felony drug charges, don't buy or use drugs.
Yeah, I think that's extremely simplistic. And when you're talking about why people are really upset and they're trying to change the law, let's talk specifically from a law enforcement perspective. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement, when they go in and they potentially search a vehicle or they search a person, if they are not taking extra precautions, fentanyl is one of those drugs that upon contact, if you're not using, can kill you. And some of those videos have surfaced online where officers accidentally got into contact just by touching, not even necessarily the pill, but maybe what the pill was in, and immediately pass out and go into some type of respiratory arrest and have to be revived. And so I think that it's important to understand the gravity of what we're talking about, that fentanyl is a very serious drug. It's very lethal, and there should be significant concern around it. Do we criminalize the people who are addicted to this drug by making it a felony? That's the question. Is that really going to save more lives? In my estimation, no. I think this is an issue with the drug cartels. It's more of an issue with drug dealers. It's not about users. It's about the people who are bringing the drugs into America.
I completely agree with you. At the root cause of that, that's where it starts. But if you get the users, for lack of a better term, off the streets, then there's not as many people to buy it.
Yeah, and that's just a ridiculous concept.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. People don't recover in jail. And what actually happens to users in jail, especially those who are addicted to opiates, is they forget what they can and cannot do, right? So when they end up in jail, they go through withdrawal. All they think about is using. The second that they get out, they buy the same amount of drugs that they would have bought when they were previously using before they were incarcerated. And now that's a lethal dose because their system can't handle it.
So then what is the answer then? Because you can't keep going on status quo.
Well, I mean, that is the question.
Right.
But in my opinion, it really comes down to enforcing the drug laws that we have, right? Making sure that we're going after the cartels and the drug dealers more harshly and not necessarily the user.
That is, and I agree completely with that, but that is a task that takes way more time and takes a whole hell of a lot of resources on the side to try and go and tackle the entire drug cartel who is distributing this, when in the meantime, could this at least get some of them, some of the people that they're selling to and some of them coming in contact with it, could it give the law enforcement agencies more time to go and tackle this big issue?
It's really unrealistic to expect somebody who's that severe of an addict to be incarcerated, and you're assuming that they're sober, as if they cannot get drugs in jail.
Yeah, right. And that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
And expect them to have the tools and resources that they need to make the internal change to no longer be an addict once they get kicked out. In my opinion, the issue needs to be on rehabilitating these individuals, not incarcerating these individuals.
But
so if you're really saying this is the problem, the users are the market for this, if we didn't have the market, then these cartels wouldn't come here and sell this, then we really need to rehabilitate these individuals, not incarcerate
How
them.
Do we force rehabilitation?
Well, again, that's part of the problem. The fundamental problem with our system is we don't have rehabilitation built in.
Yeah.
We have some rehabilitation built in some places, but it's not like a tenant or a tier of our system.
Taylor, do you have any thoughts? Would you like to weigh in on this? I know you're a little late to the debate, but...
It's okay. I think just taking a step back also from not even looking at it from a law enforcement perspective, which I know that's kind of what we're here for as lawyers, but I look at it from someone who, not to get too personal, but from someone who went to see you and someone where there were a lot of drugs around me in college, just personally, I think the a huge problem as well is not just drug users who are addicted, the people who are, you know, we're criminalizing. It's also recently I know of two people from from when I went to college who have passed away from it. And it's sad because we don't have the education either in place to either college students or other people who are using it recreationally to know that this could potentially kill me, and trying to teach that to college students or even young adults to say, hey, this can kill you, that we have to have some sort of education as well in place as rehabilitation.
No, I think that's a great point. And that this is the thing right now is that this was a race that started a long time ago and we're just now starting to run. So we're trying to get caught up with what was going on and what has continued to go on. And unfortunately, it's a very personal personal subject because there have been a ton of loss of lives throughout throughout Colorado, specifically when we're talking here. So the rehabilitation thing, I get both sides on this completely. Why do we not have something, a court-ordered rehab, a rehabilitation, or if you are incarcerated, why is there not a section of it that is for pill addicts, for addicts of any kind to get rehabilitated while they are doing their time in prison? Is there anything like that out there, or is there stuff in the works that will continue to expand that part, that portion?
There is. There are resources, certain programs at the Department of Corrections. Once you step down to a halfway house community, they have rehabilitation centers that people can go to get those services. I think part of the problem on the punitive side, when we're talking about Department of Corrections and jail, is that they don't have that resource available for everybody who needs it. So then they have to be selective.
Right.
They're going to go through their own process of who they think is going to be successful, which creates other issues. What I didn't mention, and I think would be a failure on my part if I didn't bring it up because it isn't fair not to address this, is there are drug courts. And the drug courts can be really effective. Actually, there have been studies that show that they are more effective in terms of helping people rehabilitate. But unfortunately, addicts relapse at such a high rate that even the success rates in drug courts are very low, even though they're considered very successful. So those are resources. They can be effective resources. In my opinion, it makes a lot more sense to put the money into the resources there that are working than to try to go and make these individuals felons.
Yeah. Well, I guess my thought is that if you come into contact with somebody is arrested for possession of fentanyl, and then they go through the process, it feels like a slap on the wrist for having one of the deadliest drugs out there. Just as a misdemeanor. It feels like a slap on the wrist instead of saying, okay, you are a felon. Do you not understand that the possession of what you have can kill anyone who comes in contact with it? And that is the portion to me that makes more sense to make this a felony for it. Now, every case is going to be different. Like you were just talking about, Taylor, there are people who come in contact or around it that they had no intention of doing that. Maybe they were doing just the legalized marijuana or drinking or things like that. Every case is different. But if you are in possession of it knowingly, I don't see why having one of the deadliest drugs out there shouldn't be a felony.
Well, as a lawyer, if you're going to say knowingly, how do you know that it's knowingly? If that user has intended to buy an oxycodone pill, the pill in his or her possession looks like an oxycodone pill, and it's actually fentanyl, how are you going to prove that they knew that they had a deadly drug in their possession?
Right. No, and that's for you to figure out, I suppose. I guess I know, you know, not you specifically, sure. But lawyers. I mean, and it seems incredibly difficult to try and prove that, to try and prove the other way. So as defense attorneys, I'd imagine that that would be a case that would be not a slam dunk in any stretch of the imagination, but that would be very difficult for people to prove.
I think how you started the segment is right on, though. I think everybody has the same goal in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? We want to save loss of life.
And there are different opinions on how we get there, and people have very strong opinions on how we get there. But at the end of the day, I think everybody has the same goal. And it's important for us to listen to one another and work together.
No, I think that's exactly right. Havila for president at some point. It sounds like that. I mean, she just sounds like it, doesn't it?
But I
truly do believe, with all the political fighting and all the headlines that you're going to see of this and that, when everybody's pulling from the right area or for the same goal, something good will come out of it. I truly still do believe that. If I don't believe that, then it's going to be a depressing life to live. And I think that I said this just yesterday, when we have Republicans and Democrats who both have positive qualities about them pulling for something, they'll meet in the middle somewhere and do this. But what are your expectations? Do you expect this to become a felony again?
I know that it passed the House. I don't know where it's going to land.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to find out. All right, 9:51. Ladies, thank you so much for your time this morning. Any final thoughts from either of you? Taylor, we'll start with you.
Ending on a heavy topic, yeah. But just everyone enjoy your weekend and be safe.
And get a hot dog, right? If you're going to the Rockies games against the Cubbies.
Yes, get a hot dog, root for the Rockies, and you can call me for a free legal consultation at 970-939-8366.
All right, that's Taylor Myers, TaylorMade Legal Services. Havila?
You can find me at brunolilylegal.com or 720-340-1373. And we're available 24/7. We speak Spanish. Call me for your free consult.
All right. Any final, no talk to the cops?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah.
That is my standing recommendation.
Well,
do not talk to the cops. I'm sorry. I missed out.
Yeah, I know.
The
All
hot
right.
dog thing today threw me.
We got it right back on track. Ladies, I appreciate you so much. We'll catch up with you next Thursday at our regularly scheduled time. 9:52 the time. NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. I don't get nervous very often on this program, but tackling the debate about criminalization of drugs with two lawyers, a little nervous. I think I held my own. I think I did all right.
I'd say so.
I think I'm looking for kudos this morning. Angel Padilla doing the production work this morning for us. Very smart ladies. If you find yourself in any legal issues, go ahead and give them a call. Our accessories of the flare and hair poll question today: what is the ballpark essential? What is it? You only get to pick one: hot dog, cold beer, nachos, or other. 40% of people now saying hot dog. 40% of people now saying cold beer. Not a lot of love for the nachos out there, only 10%. And 10% saying other. Here's what the 10% are saying: a competitive team or competent ownership. You just calm the hell down, sir. You just calm down there. Not a good night for the Rockies last night.
It's a good old Rockies last night.
That was... The bullpen's incredible, and Kyle Freeland, what?
If you don't have that first inning, I think the Rockies win that game.
I love Bud Black. Why did he leave Freeland in there?
No reason to keep him in there.
There was no. You get two runs back, it's 3-2. Pull him and let your bullpen go to work. I get it. You want to get him rolling. It's early in the year. You want to get, because Freeland's got to be good if this team's going to be good. But an 0-2 pitch, he leaves a hanging slider on the outside portion of the plate that barely skims the top of the wall as it goes out. And Freeland was pissed. He was not happy with that. I watched his postgame presser, too. And, yeah, not good. Brendan Rodgers, 2-for-23. Buddy Black talked about that in the postgame presser as well, saying, listen, you get 20 at-bats, 2-for-20, that's not where you want to be at. But you're going to have those 2-for-20 streaks. It's early and it's magnified. If he's in the lineup tonight, you got to get him off for a couple days. Garrett Hampson needs to be playing second base tonight. get Brendan Rodgers just a couple of days to try and get his swing. Charlie looked a little out of sorts, but you can see it's starting to come around. 12 runners left on base for the Rockies. All right, we'll talk more about that. Feel Good Friday comes into full effect. Coming up next, it's Snow Cone Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.